Most of us here know the plot of the movie Saving Private Ryan. On D-Day, Private James Ryan parachuted at Normandy behind German lines. And within a couple of days, his three brothers were all killed in action in other theaters of the war. And so the military brass decided that they were going to send a platoon of men to go find him and save him so that this mother, Mrs. Ryan, would not lose all four of her sons in the war. And so there were eight men led by Captain John Miller, Tom Hanks, who went looking for Private Ryan, and by the time they found him, six out of the eight men had been killed. And as he lay dying there on the bridge, Tom Hanks, Captain John Miller, said to Ryan, "Earn this. Earn what we've done for you." Well, Private Ryan spent the next 50 years of his life trying to do exactly that. But when have you done enough to earn something like that? When have you performed well enough? When have you accomplished enough that you've earned something like that? And so Private Ryan ended up becoming a slave, being imprisoned to those words the rest of his life. Now, just think how much different Private Ryan's life would have been if on that bridge, Captain Miller had said to him, "You know, we sacrificed our lives to save you. Now enjoy it. Enjoy it." You know, I think that Private Ryan would probably still have gone on and lived a good life. I think he probably would have still gone on and tried to be a nice man and a good man, but he would have done it as a free man with joy, not as a slave to those words that even 50 years later, he somehow could not escape. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ sacrificed his life on a cross to redeem you and me. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, our question tonight is, which of these two phrases does he say to us? Does he say to us, "I sacrificed my life for you, now earn it"? Or does he say, "I sacrificed my life for you, now enjoy it"? We're going to start a series of four messages tonight that focuses on this very issue of our freedom in Christ. And we want to try to answer some questions over the next 4 weeks. Question number one, just how free are we as followers of Jesus Christ? Question number two, can we really do anything we want without endangering our connection with Jesus Christ, without endangering our eternal life? I mean, are we free to enjoy what God did for us to that level? Question number three, if we're really 100% free, then what about the thou shalt and the thou shalt not commands of the Bible? What do we do with them? How do we relate to them? And last of all, if we're really free, are there any circumstances where God asks us to limit our freedom, to restrict our freedom? And if so, when are those circumstances? Why does he ask it? And how does he ask us to limit our freedom? These are the issues we want to talk about. In this series, we're going to talk about drinking and smoking and dancing and gambling. We're going to talk about movies and tattoos and Playboy magazine. We're going to talk about thongs and bikinis and premarital sex and internet porn. We're going to talk about living together as boyfriend and girlfriend. We're going to talk about chewing tobacco. We're going to cover it all. And let me just say, this series is kind of like a football game. There are four quarters, and it's not over till you've seen all four quarters. And there's four parts to this series. And folks, it's really not a balanced series, and you really don't get it unless you hear all four of them. So I want to invite you to be here the next 3 weeks. If you miss one, pick up the tape, pick up the CD, because I want you to get the full balance of what we're going to talk about. Tonight, the question we want to ask and answer is this: how much freedom do we really have as followers of Jesus Christ? How much freedom do we really have without endangering our relationship with God or our eternal life? We're going to answer that tonight. And I want you to put your theological thinking caps on, because I'm going to challenge, I believe in this series, virtually everything you've ever been taught about how to live out the Christian experience. But I'm going to challenge it with biblical truth. And my goal in this series is to really get us to relate to all of these things we just read off, smoking and drinking and dancing and but to relate to them biblically, to know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and to do it with biblical foundation. All right? That's where we're going. I think you're going to enjoy the series. And tonight we're going to talk about just how free we really are. Now, Romans chapter 8 says this. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. I don't know how you can say it any simpler than that. There is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ, for when you gave your lives to Christ, you were adopted into God's family as dear children. Therefore, you no longer need to act like cowering slaves. The Bible teaches that our relationship to God as followers of Christ is based on the unconditional love of God for His children. And the Bible teaches that because we are the children of God, we have a relationship with God where we are loved in an unconditional fashion, and therefore we are completely free. You know, if you own a company or you're a manager, you realize, of course, that how your employees relate, how they perform, is completely different in how you relate to that than how your children perform. You've got to relate to it differently. I mean, if an employee performs poorly, hey, what do? You sever the relationship and you fire them. But no matter how bad your child might perform, your relationship with your child is different. It is unseverable. It is unconditional. And you've got to relate to them in that way. Now, I've got 3 boys, and I've had lots of practice with this principle over the last 24 years. For example, last week, my youngest son, Jonathan, told me that he had hit my wife's car. I said, how in the world could you do that? It's sitting in the driveway. He said, well, I know. I hit it while I was moving one of your other cars. I said, wait a minute. You mean you hit 2 of my cars at the same time? He said, yeah. He said, but it's not a lot of damage. I said, well, show me a not a lot of damage. Well, let me tell you something. It's enough damage. It's going to cost me a whole lot of money. I said, how could you do this? The car wasn't even moving. He said, well, it wasn't really that hard. All right. 2 days later, this is no lie. 2 days later, my middle son, Justin, home from college, was pulling my wife's car in the garage and scraped the side of the brick wall all down the side of my wife's car. He came in and said, it's not real bad. I said, show me not real bad. Well, it is pretty bad. And then the very next day, my youngest son, Jonathan, while driving 60 miles an hour in the beltway in my car, plowed into the back of a stopped car. He's okay, but he totaled my car. He tore up the other guy's car. He put the other guy in the hospital, and he probably sent my insurance rates into 5 digits. Maybe 6. I haven't got the bill yet. Who knows what this thing's going to look like when the bill finally comes in. And let's just say it wasn't a good car week at my house. How about that? Now, if these 2 guys worked for me, they would have a very short career. Do you understand what I'm saying? But these are my sons. I mean, I wasn't crazy about their actions, but my relationship with them is different. I love them unconditionally, and nothing they can do can change my love, my acceptance, and my bond with them, even if I'm not crazy about those things that they did. Now, you understand that, right? This is what God is trying to tell us here in the Bible. He's trying to tell us that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become God's children in a way that the rest of the human race is not. And because we are God's children, God's love for us is unconditional. His relationship with us does not float up and down based on our performance. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus in a real and personal way, it's really important that you not believe the propaganda that this world spits out that we're all God's children. No, we're not. It's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says we're all God's creation. We're all God's creatures. But the only people who are God's children are people who have trusted Jesus Christ and given their lives to Him, who have embraced what He's done on the cross for us to pay for our wrongdoing. And when we trust Christ, becoming one of God's children and experiencing the unconditional love and bond with God that we get is all part of the package deal. Hey, if you've never done that, friend, we really want you to do that. It's a wonderful thing to be in an unconditional love relationship with Almighty God. And for those of us here who are followers of Christ, this is why the Bible says, Romans 8 verse 35, what shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation, by the way, including our own bad performance, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. The point is, as God's child, I have the freedom to act in any way I want to act without endangering the bond that exists between me and my Heavenly Father. There is nothing I can do, there is nothing I ever will do that will change how God feels about me or will change the love of God for me. Now, it is this freedom that we have as followers of Christ that lies at the base of the entire letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. In fact, the book of Galatians is often called the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. He starts off, Paul does, by saying in Galatians 2, that he talks about these false teachers who infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Jesus Christ and to try to make us slaves. And Paul says in the next verse, we did not give in to them for a moment. He spends the rest of the letter convincing these believers in Galatia and convincing us to resist any and all pressure that people put on us to compromise the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says, Galatians 4, verse 8. Formerly, you who did not know God, you were slaves, but now you are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So why now do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to a weak and useless system of human performance? You're trying to find favor with God now by what you do and by what you don't do? Dear friends, he says, I plead with you to live as I do. And how is that? In freedom from these things. Now notice how the Apostle Paul defines slavery here. He defines it, Galatians 4:10, as trying to please God by what we do and what we don't do. And he says that as followers of Jesus Christ, as God's beloved children, we are free from this. Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be entangled again by a yoke of slavery. So let's stop. Let's summarize. What have we learned? We've learned that the Bible is crystal clear, that as followers of Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is not based on performance. When we perform poorly, God doesn't love us any the less. When we perform well, God doesn't love us anymore. God says, Galatians 4:10, that as followers of Christ, he has freed us from trying to find a favor with God by what we do or what we don't do. Instead, the Bible teaches we have favor with God 24/7, 365 days a year. And you know the message of God to us in the Bible? You're free. Now enjoy it. Nowhere in the Bible does God say to us what John Miller said to Private Ryan. He doesn't say earn it. He says, hey, I set you free. Now enjoy it. Friends, many of us know this from personal experience, but there are evangelical churches all over America and probably all over the world. Churches that teach that eternal life, salvation is by grace, but that the Christian experience is by works. All you got to do is listen to them. They will tell you that you can't go to movies, you can't play cards, and you can't cut the grass on Sunday if you want to be a good Christian. You can't gamble, you can't listen to secular music, and you can't wear short skirts if you want to be a good Christian. You cannot get a tattoo, get a stud, or drive a new Porsche if you want to be a good Christian. You can't smoke or dance or drink or chew or hang around with them which do if you want to be a good Christian. Now, friends, all these churches are doing is cranking out little spiritual Private Ryans. That's all they're doing. Cranking out people who live their entire lives in bondage to a performance system that God says in the Bible, he freed us from. All we do when we teach this, this works approach to the Christian experience, all we do is rob people of their freedom in Jesus Christ. We turn the Christian experience into something that is drudgery, that is bland obligation. We take all of the joy out of it. We take all of the zing out of it. We take all of the sparkle and the vitality out of it. Hey, when I read John 8:36, you know what Jesus said? He said, "If I, the Son of Man, set you free, you shall be free indeed." Man, I don't know how you say it any clearer than that. I'm free. I'm free. And so are you if you know Christ. What do you have to do for God to love you? Nothing. What can you do to stop God from loving you? There's nothing you can do. What do you have to do for God to accept you and be your heavenly Father? Nothing. What can you do to ruin it? Nothing. You're free, friend. Free. Listen to what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, "There are grace killers on the loose. These are people who don't want us to be free before God, accepted just as we are by His grace. They don't want us to be free to express our faith originally and creatively. They want everybody to talk the same and act the same and behave the same exactly like they do." Then he goes on to say this. He says, "Too many folks are being turned off by this twisted concept of the Christian life. Instead of giving people permission to be absolutely free in Christ, more people than ever are projecting this grim-faced list of do's and don'ts, which result in believers who spend their whole life in a tight radius of bondage." He continues and says, "Too many people see Christians," and a lot of your friends are this way, "they see Christians as stiff, uptight people who live lives that are inflexible, colorless, and unbending." And then he concludes by saying, "In vain I have searched the Bible, looking for examples of Christians whose lives were marked by this kind of rigidity, inhibition, dullness, and caution. Instead," Chuck says, "in the Bible, I find adventurous, risk-taking, enthusiastic believers whose joy was contagious because they understood God's grace and they knew they were free." End of quote. This is why the Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, "Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have gained access into this gracious position, this gracious standing in which we now stand." Friends, we have a gracious position with God as children of Christ. We have a gracious standing, which means that my relationship with God now is based on grace, God's undeserved mercy to me. It's not based on my performance. God's love for me is based on grace. It's not based on my performance. God's acceptance of me, thank God, is based upon the grace of God, not what I do or don't do. You say, "Well, Lon, what are you really trying to say here?" Well, let me tell you what I'm really trying to say. I'm trying to say that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can play poker, go to the movies, play slot machines, listen to rock music, smoke cigars, do shots of tequila, buy lottery tickets, get a tattoo, and have 75 earrings and 25 studs if you want to, and it won't change how God feels about you one bit. Now, I don't want anybody to faint and roll out in the aisle here, but I want to say a couple more things. What this means? It means you can smoke dope in the McLean Bible Church restroom, and it won't change how God feels about you one bit. Now, we may not be thrilled with your particular activity that night, but it's not going to change how God feels about you one bit. Friends, you can travel and order an adult movie in your hotel room and watch it, and you know what? It won't change how God feels about you one bit. You can be unfaithful to your spouse, and it won't change your relationship with God one bit. You go, okay, whoa, stop right there. See, I knew this. I knew, Lon, if we gave you enough rope, sooner or later, you were going to become a heretic. I knew that, see? What are you doing up there? You're just giving people license to go sin, to go do whatever they want. Have you lost your mind? You're a heretic. You've gone apostate, and Chuck Swindoll's gone with you. Well, wait a minute. What about the Apostle Paul? Is he a heretic? Listen to what he says, Romans chapter 6. He says, what am I saying here? Am I saying that we should go on sinning so that grace may abound? May it never be. Verse 15 of Romans 6, what am I saying? Am I saying that we should sin because we're under grace and we're not under law, we're not under human performance? By no means. You know, here in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul is defending himself against the very same charge some of you would love to make against me, and that is that he was opening everything up for license in the Christian life. I love what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says in his commentary on Romans 6. Listen to what he says. He says, the true preaching of grace always leads to the possibility of this charge of license being brought against it. If your preaching of grace has not been misunderstood in this way, you had better examine your sermons again to make sure that you are preaching grace the way it is really offered in the New Testament. End of quote. Now, friends, listen. I'm not here to encourage you to go do something that's wrong. I'm not encouraging you to go do things that offend God. I'm not here to try to convince you to disobey God or to push license. I've spent the last 22 years of my life at this church trying to teach people how to obey God, walk in the Spirit, and please God with their lives, how to live out a biblical worldview every day of their life. But I want to say to you that obedience to God needs to be based on biblical truth. We have got to be intellectually honest with the Bible. And when we are intellectually honest with what the Bible teaches, what the Bible says is that I am a child of God. As a child of God, I am in a gracious relationship with God. He loves me unconditionally, and as such, I can do whatever I want to do without ever endangering my relationship with God, my eternal life, period. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, before we close tonight, maybe a little bit of balance would be good. What do you think? The Bible also teaches, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, that all things may be lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Not all things are beneficial. See, in our lives as followers of Christ, everything that we'll ever do falls into one of two areas. And just let me summarize this very quickly, because we're going to talk more about this in the weeks to come. Either they fall into category one, which are those things that might possibly offend other people, the gray areas. These are things that God never speaks to in the Bible. They are not spiritual issues with God. Cards, movies, dancing, tattoos, cigars, margaritas. These are things that are not spiritual issues with God. But they are things that might sometimes scandalize other people. They are things that might sometimes damage other people or get in the way of other people making a decision for Christ. Do we have Christian liberty when it comes to every single one of these gray areas? The answer is yes. Absolutely, without question, you can do every one of these things. You're free. But there are certain times and certain circumstances where God asks us to limit our freedom for the sake of other people around us, to have a higher motive in our life than just doing what we feel like doing or freedom, but to love other people enough that we're willing to give up a freedom rather than hurt or damage somebody else. We're going to talk about those principles 2 weeks from tonight. The other category, that if it doesn't fall into this category, it falls in the other category. And these are the things that do clearly offend God. I call these the black and white areas. These are the things about which in the Bible there are thou shalt and thou shalt nots. Things like adultery, pornography, stealing, lying, cheating, embezzlement. These are things, are they lawful? Can you do them? Will they affect your relationship with God? Will you lose your connection with God? Will you lose your eternal life? No, you can do these things. But they offend God. They are spiritual issues with God. And the Bible calls on us in these areas to refrain from using our liberty in deference not to other people, but in deference to God Himself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, use it to please God. And God asks us in these areas to refrain from using our liberty, not because we have to, But because we love him so much, we want to do the things that make him happy. See, friends, I commit as much adultery as I want to. I smoke as much dope as I want to. I lie and steal and cheat and embezzle as much money from McLean Bible Church as I want to. Now, that's not a soundbite. Don't you dare cut it and stop it there. You understand? Let me finish the sentence. The thing is, I don't want to. And the reason I don't want to is not because I know if I do those things, I'll lose eternal life. I know I won't. Not because I know if I do those things that I'll lose my relationship with God. I know I won't. But you know what? If those are things that make God sad, after all that Jesus has done in my life, after all that he's redeemed me from, after all of the goodness he's shown me, if those things make him sad, I don't want to do the things that make him sad. But you see, now I'm refraining from doing these things for the right reason. Not because I have to, not because I'm being threatened, not because I'm under pressure. I'm doing it out of love for God. You understand? Friends, listen carefully. With this, we're done. Our freedom in Christ is not about having the freedom to disobey God and sin against God. If that's what you think Christian liberty is, you misunderstand it altogether. Our freedom in Christ is about having the freedom to obey God, but to do it for the right reason. Not because we're pressured, not because we're threatened, not because we're under obligation, but because we love him. That's the right reason to do something. And you know what? If you're not free, if you're not 100% free, then you can't ever do it for the right reason. When you're free, and then you decide to do what God asks you, then God knows it's because you love him. And now, it really brings joy to his heart. That's what freedom in Christ is all about. Well, let's summarize. What we've learned tonight is this. Number one, that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become God's child in a way the rest of the human race is not. Number two, that as God's child, I have the freedom to act any way I want to act. I am free without it endangering the bond between me and my Heavenly Father or endangering my eternal life in any way. Number three, we learn that God wants us to know that we're free. God wants us to enjoy being free. He does. Number four, and finally, we also learn that out of love for God, there are times when God asks us. He doesn't command us. He doesn't require. He asks us if we would limit our liberty out of love for him. And those times are either number one, when we do things, when there are things that would offend and sadden him, or number two, when there are things we might do that might hurt or injure other people. We're going to talk about these two categories in the weeks to come. But let me close by saying this. Some of us know the kind of churches I talked about earlier. Some of us were raised in those kind of churches where you know you didn't smoke or drink or cuss or chew or hang around with them, which do. Or you were just a bad Christian. You know what I'm talking about. And we were raised to believe that we really weren't free. We were raised to believe that, yes, our salvation was free, but man, having God's smile on us, you had to earn that. I'm here to tell you, you were raised wrong. You were raised wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. God never says to us, earn my smile. God never says to us, earn my goodwill. God never says to us, earn my favor. God never says to us, earn my love. Never says it. God says, you have my goodwill. You have my favor. You have my love. Now enjoy it. Enjoy it. But I'm going to ask you to limit your freedom in a couple of areas. And if you really love me, I hope you'll do it. Now, friends, when that's how we learn to relate to all these areas, then not only does it bring joy into even not doing something, it's wonderful to be able to say, you know I could do this, but because Jesus asked me not to, I'm happy to give it back to him as a present. There's joy then in staying away from certain things. And there's also a maturity. We know what we're doing and why we're doing it. We understand why we're staying away from certain things. And there's a maturity and a seasoning that comes into our life where we can even defend to our friends and say to them, you know what? I could do this. It's not a big deal. But I have a higher goal in my life, and that is to please God. We're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come. And I hope you're here, because I think I'm going to continue to challenge your thinking. And we're going to teach you how to live free, but how to live godly and responsibly as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks so much for talking to us tonight. And you know, Lord, I was in my early Christian experience in a church just like this where we weren't taught to be free. We were taught to be Private Ryan, to earn your love, your favor, your smile. I'll never forget the day when it finally dawned on me that I was in a self-imposed prison that these people had taught me to be in. The prison door was wide open. I could walk out anytime I wanted and be free. I'll never forget that, Lord, how that changed my entire walk with God. And I pray for each of these young men and women who are here tonight that we here at McLean Bible Church might teach them correctly what the Bible says. Not to do license, not to go out and just in every way they can think of offend God and offend people. That's not what we're teaching, but we're teaching that we're free. What a wonderful thing to know. That we're loved unconditionally. What a wonderful thing to know. And then any choice we make to limit that freedom is a choice we make because of love for Jesus Christ. Now that's biblical. And that brings joy to the Christian experience. So Lord, use this short series, I pray, to liberate many of the folks who are here who've been taught to live the Christian life wrong. And grant that we might learn to live our Christian experience in a way that has joy, vitality, verve, and zing, because we're living it in the freedom that you gave us. Use this series to change our life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.